Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Patience and perseverance is the best recipe for success.
Absolutely, absolutely. If at first you don't succeed, try again.
What? Gotta ring my bell on that. How are you, beautiful soul?
I am well, and yourself?
I can't complain about nothing right now.
Okay,
right
that's
now,
good.
Okay? Because you got to count this stuff moment by moment.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Shoot. So thank you and welcome to On the Edge, the place.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's right, where the conversation is pointed in your face, brains. The responses are sharp and the guests are never dull. Right?
Absolutely.
I think I twisted that up, but it still is all relevant. Brains, we've got a mover and shaker, lover and caregiver. We have Nurse Sharon Herbert, okay? She retired now. You retired now, right, Queen?
I'm retiring. I'm almost there.
Okay, you're transitioning.
Yes.
You're evolving.
I'm transforming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. From a caterpillar now to a butterfly.
Absolutely.
And you're not only doing that with your eyelashes, because they're cute, but you're doing it to support other nurses in the industry. Brains, I wrote some questions down I'm going to ask her. I don't want to have the same old conversation. We know that they are overlooked and underserved. You can't pay a nurse enough money to take care of me when I'm sick. Ain't enough money in the world. But I want to talk about them slowing down. Pacing themselves, because there's just been some convictions. You know, she didn't get jail time, okay? And I know it's demand, but you have to be able to give some self-care and decompress, because if you don't, you're going to explode like a pressure cooker, and that's not good.
How well I know.
Okay. So, before we get started, can you do me a favor? Bring your screen down just a little bit. Or
all
up
right.
A little bit, maybe.
One second.
Just cutting off the top of that beautiful head. There you go.
Look, where am I? Hold
nope,
on.
Nope, down a little bit. There you go. There you go. Front and center, baby. Bam, bam.
Absolutely.
All right. So tell my brains, where are you from? Oh, brains, I told you was on the edge. Okay, so you know that. Okay, and this is Sharon Herbert. She has been a nurse in the industry forever. Okay, now. Again, tell me about you.
Now, yes, I am Sharon Herbert, and I have been a nurse, a registered nurse, actually now mastered prepared, as I say, prepared by the master to serve the community of folks that need care and service related to their health. Mm-hmm. And people often ask me, well, how long have you been a nurse? And I will tell you this. I have been a nurse. This is a test for you. I've been a nurse for at least this century. So do your math. You'll figure it out.
Okay.
You'll figure it out. So, at least this century and part of the last century.
Yikes.
I won't give you the figures. So it's been a while.
Okay.
I have wanted to be a nurse since I was in kindergarten. And that I have accomplished. Plus more. And it is my pleasure to be here to speak about the profession of nursing.
Right. Well, you've been on the road, girl. I'm telling you, you must not be at the hospital right now because you have been everywhere on social media. I mean, such a presence out there speaking on stages, pouring your heart out, your wisdom. Being a caregiver is no joke. I took care of my mother for 30 years. She was cool for the most part. But that last year when you had to, make those life and death decisions and clean and cognizance and go with the mood swings, don't want to take the medication. Get to the doctor and say, what, all he gonna do is talk to me. It's a lot. And you know what you build up? I'm being transparent, brains. Some resentment.
That could be true. That could be true.
I can only imagine what a nurse goes through. One of my other nurse interviews, she said the patient bit her. I said, bit you? Yeah. She said, yeah, bit me, and so they go through a lot.
Yes. So
tell us what it looks like in a hospital setting right now for a nurse in a nutshell.
Well, in a nutshell, nothing really is different, but that is saying no one has really understood who nurses are and what nurses do from as far back as I can remember. I didn't even know why. I wanted to be a nurse because my mom had two friends who were nurses, but no one in my family was a nurse. But I find that people don't believe nurses are people. So they don't treat us like people. They treat us like the maid. Who can tell what nurses do? So my point for my clients who are nurses, when I coach, what we need to do is to make sure people know who we are. Everyone knows a doctor. They want a doctor. They want to speak to a doctor. But I will say, for everyone who encounters the healthcare system, make a nurse your best friend. No, we don't do the surgery, but we know everything else. We know where the stairs are. We know where the parking lot is, the cafeteria, and all of that. We make PPE out of trash bags. We can make stuff, and we can do everything.
Absolutely. And you take a message.
and in between that, there is nothing that we cannot tell you about or point you towards. No, we don't have to know everything and we don't have to do everything, but we will get you where you need to go. If it's nothing, counseling and a hug. And I know COVID is, COVID, but, so even virtual hugs, because we do what we do because we love it. We help and serve because we love it. And no, we are not often acknowledged for that because people don't even know, okay, how do you become a nurse? We are not just trained. We are educated like any other professor or any other high-level educator. Nursing folks, we have to have education.
Absolutely. I went in and saw my girlfriend just had a college. I went into the hospital room. She's had a baby. All the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the beep goes off and what bag to put here, and then this is how she's communicating with the doctor, with the physician via text. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They're doing telemedicine, but you're held accountable.
Absolutely.
And what? There is a compassion there. So I understand, You've got six patients, you're working 14 hours. Let's talk to the travel nurse. I want to speak to that for a minute. I got a spot I'm renting. And I'm trying to get a mobile nurse for 13-week assignments. But I am not doing it because they all travel with a travel companion, a dog or cat, emotional support. But you're gone 14 hours a day.
Yes.
And then you sleep another 8. So that's cruel, in my opinion. But
You don't sleep that long. You don't sleep at all. You don't sleep that long. Wow. You might sleep 4.
And you subject yourself to disease and sickness and just every day for somebody else. Wow, what a humanitarian brains. You better find a nurse, because nurses and teachers are my favorite people on the planet.
Yes. And we do things, not that we don't like money, but the world does not equate what we do because they don't know what we do. They don't equate that with value and worth. And our job now, and it should have always been, is to share what we do with people, because they think we change, you know, the bedpan and change sheets and give you a medication. Yeah, but all that doing what we're doing, we're thinking. We know what happens when we do this, when the doctor asks a question or says something. When we call a doctor, we already know what we need to do. We have to get permission. So that's a different story. It's not that we don't know, but clients don't think that we know. They think we just do tasks. Our brains, we know what your disease process is, what kind of services you would need, even when you go home, who gives you your information and instruction? The nurse. After the nurse has developed a relationship with you, is probably the best time. So nurses and patients, and I can only talk to the nurses now, but maybe they'll tell a friend, develop a relationship with your patient. I know if you have six, there are a lot of them. And those are the stressors that we have to overcome. And developing relationships and communicating with your patients is one of the best ways. Because
you have to not only just communicate with your patient, you have to communicate with their family.
And family.
The outside influence. Brains, I encourage you to get your paperwork in order. Right now, not tomorrow, okay? Pretend you are already, on a tropical island with a nice libation and the sun beaming down on you and you got your angel wings and you dead. What would you want your people to know? Would you want them to carry out your living will and trust? You buy a piece of property, you ain't had no documentation. You go to the doctor's office, you don't have any... What is that called? I can't think of the term for it now. Your direct medical directive.
Mm-hmm. Or even a list of your medications.
Exactly. And that's what happened during Hurricane Katrina. They brought some people down here to San Diego. And she said, baby, I ain't had that little blue pill for my heart. And I said, well, little blue pill, mother. She didn't know. She didn't know the milligram. Right. I went down there. And you know what a nurse did? A nurse went and pulled out the medications. Yes, she did. She didn't have to do that. To help us find what this woman needed. So nurses are really, really your best resource and your only resource. Because like you said, when you check them out, who do you get? You get the nurse. Who do you see all day, every day? The nurse. Okay, so talk about the nurse taking care of herself. I want to slide into that.
And so the nurses, when they are working, especially now in this last 3 years of COVID, have had mandates, directives, whatever you want to call them, to work additional hours. It's required because you need a nurse. You can't have an ICU run with no nurses there to do all of the medications and do all the orders processing. So they work additional hours. That's called mandatory overtime, is what we call it. And that means if you're scheduled for 12 hours, you most likely are going to be working 16. Well, there are 24 hours in a day. What do you do with the other eight? Because you have a life. Really, yes, we have a life. So you have a family, you have grocery shopping, you have bills, you have laundry, you still have all of that, and you have 8 hours left in your day. So you're not sleeping eight, you're sleeping barely four. Now you're tired. And you have to come back in the morning because they don't have any nurses in the next shift either. So you had your 4 hours. You haven't slept well. You probably have not rested at all. Sleep and rest aren't quite the same. And now you come back to work and do 16 over again. That is called work-life imbalance. It's not balanced. And it is a huge stressor, a huge stressor. And stress is not good for your body, your life.
What do we do? What do we do to, reconnect and ground yourself? Can you just set boundaries? Can you just set some boundaries that I'm not going to do this? And I understand what you're saying, but nurses work 3 days. They're off 4 days. So this isn't a 24-hour thing, or has that changed as well?
Oh, they don't work 3 days. Some of them work 10 days in a row, and they're not all travelers. Wow. They are required because there is no staff to fill those empty hours. The hospital can't have an ICU open with no nurses there because you've already done your three that week. Oh, it's only Wednesday. You have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday where they have holes in their schedule, and then they will require you to come to work or be fired. Now, what do you do? The president of the American Nurses Association was on the news. I think I saw it last fall or something like that. And this is the president of the American Nurses Association, the foundation of the support for nurses, not for nursing particularly, you know, it may do that. But in this instance, he shared the fact that, yes, the nurses that he had spoken to, yes, they work 12 hours, but they work 6 days a week with overtime to come out to 96 hours a week. It's required because the hospital has to have coverage. That's what led the hospitals to having travelers to fill in some of the gaps. But now that costs too much. So they're back to nurses working at least 6 12s a week, which is already 70 plus hours. Normally you think 9 to 5, you know, in the world, 9 to 5, that's 40 hours. Well, how would you like to be required to work 72 to 96 hours?
You better than me, because again, if I got bit one time, if I caught cold or flu or the COVID one time, or was required to work 96 hours, I'd probably quit. And
this is where folks are now.
So that's where it really proves, point to task brains, that how valuable your nurses are. I always think my nurse and my doctor. My mother said, you don't mess with people. They give you your medication and give you your food. She said, you be as kind as possible. Be kind to your nurse.
Yeah, and so it's difficult for folks to understand what that means, because they don't see nurses as people. They see nurses like as robots.
Okay, but so now we've described the problem. Now, what is a potential solution?
Now, the solution needs to be for nurses as a system, like they have the healthcare system. And you don't hear this about doctors, but they work in the same circumstances. We need to get together to think about how these problems can be solved, not individually, but as a group, because you need to take care of yourself. If you continue to fly by your seat of your pants and do those 96, and you don't ask for help, and you don't acknowledge that that is a problem for you working all those hours, they'll continue to let you work them until you get sick and you fall ill.
Okay, or what I'm hearing still is, I get all that. Mm-hmm. I'm still finding there's a gap in the industry of nursing. Because I don't care, you know, if you don't have enough nurses, if they work, you know, 50 hours and are not productive, they work 96 hours. So how are we going to fill back this reservoir? Because a lot of people got very disassociated. They quit their jobs.
Yes.
They didn't want the stress. They didn't want the pressure. They didn't want the responsibility. They had their own health immune issues. And if they weren't vaccinated, now I get it. If it was during COVID, I'd want my nurse vaccinated, doctor, everybody, the janitor. I want everybody in the hospital vaccinated. That was just me personally. Okay, so they're going through all of that. How are we going to encourage the next generation of healthcare providers, be it EMTs, be it nurses, because nurses are very specialized brains. It's not just one general nurse. You got anesthesia, you got post-recovery, you know, you got all kinds of specialty cancer. So there's a lot of different facets to that. But what I want to hear about is talking to the next group of individuals that are going to be going through this. What should they start trying to develop, and why should they be excited about going back into this industry?
And so this is the piece for some of us who are more seasoned, or at least focused on promoting the community of nursing. But it, unfortunately, that's halfway down the road, because we have to start at the beginning. And in the alphabet, you start with A. The world does not value the faculty and for turning out productive, successful citizens and nurses, you've got to have teachers. And that is the hugest struggle, which makes it a challenge for turning out people who, even if they're excited, and lots of folks are signing up for nursing programs, but there are not enough faculty. Mm-hmm. And why is that? Because even before we got online today, I knew that this was true, but it was my truth because I've been a faculty, but I looked up the data. And the nursing faculty, for example, in a college setting, a new faculty member is required to have at least a master's degree, which of course means that they've paid somewhere previously to get that additional degree. And they become a faculty. Their starting salary is $40,000 a year. Now, I can say that's what was true when I was a faculty member. And even in the health sciences, the faculty in our setting was also biology, and those faculty got way more. So I said, let me look at, you know, the data from today. Yes, the faculty in the sciences of biology in the same organization, college, those faculty started at 50,000 and went up to, for average, was $129,000 a year.
That's nothing compared to what I hear some of the nurses are making now, which they deserve.
But that's the faculty. So how are you going to get nursing faculty if you're paying the faculty $40,000? And they have to do all the work to help the nurses complete their education. And if there are no faculty there, because if they became a traveling nurse, if the faculty member traveled, they can make.
I don't understand how they do that. I don't all of that understand money. How they. A friend of mine's brother was one of the first doctors that put this online medical, global medical.
Like telehealth?
Yeah, he did that. I'm sure he's sitting on a gazillion dollars. Some people in New York, they don't have it. I think it's amazing. I'm kind of scared by it. I changed healthcare providers and they just point and a click and there I am right there. Okay. So now you've got all of this, this new technology. You've got the challenges of nursing. You've got them overworked and, under-supported. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. But I want to hear some of your success stories, okay? Because it's not all bad.
So, no, it is not.
Give me one of your favorite nursing stories, how you maybe turned someone around or maybe not. Tell me one of your favorites.
I can do that. And this is why I love what I do. And I am retiring just to do this, to talk to nurses about what their life goals are. As I call it, nurse life. I made it up, nurse life coaching, because I kind of know where they've been, but sometimes people are just running in that hamster wheel and they don't know what they want to do. And we've all got some, hidden talents and secret powers to find those things that you love and enjoy, whether, it's cooking, baking, or if you want to be a nurse practitioner, those things that you can do, you have to know what's holding you back. And
right.
Those.
What's one of the favorite things that you've done as a nurse to take care of yourself, but just take care of somebody else? What makes you smile?
Right. So helping those nurses who really want to be doing something. My favorites are nurse practitioners, but it's still the same because they want to help and serve, but they've been stuck over in that hamster wheel and they're afraid to, it's going to be too much work for me. It's going to be too much time. No one's going to want what I do. They don't value me. But when we put that self-love back in you, when you find who you really are is really valuable, all that time you've been working those 96 hours, you've still been a beautiful, worthy person. You've got to love yourself and take care of yourself. And then you can find the pain, those stressors, those pain points, we turn them into progress and power. We don't just say, oh, I feel sorry for myself. Let's take that darn why we worked overtime when we know Mr. Jones has diabetes and he's been in this hospital 300 times. I'm going to be the one to make the community more healthy so that they don't come in the ER for COVID, or so they don't come in with their toe off because it's Mr. Jones again. Find your what you love and your worth and build that into the platform to take you to be that NP or home care nurse. You don't have to stay in that hamster wheel.
Absolutely. And I see a lot of nurses are moving from where they are now to the very integrative medicine or holistic or hospice. They're seeing the transition of life and death. They see what these medications are doing to mind, body, and spirit of everyone involved, because we're all energy, be it the doctor, the patient, the surgeon, the nurse, the parent, the child, whatever. It is a conglomerate of individuals that, you know, we have to really manage. And I thank you so much, Sharon. You are an amazing, amazing person. You've given so much to the nursing community. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you so they can talk to you on the edge if they want to work with you, if they want to support you with legislation, letter writing, maybe sending balloons and sending cupcakes to your favorite nurse day, all of those things. How do they get in contact with you, Sharon?
Learning how to love yourself starts at Power in Nursing Innovations. And you can find me on Facebook, Power in Nursing Innovations. And you can also find my website, powerinnursing.com. And we have a signature program, Nursing Your Power, that helps celebrate and motivate nurses. And we always, always like to share. So sharing and caring information is our power.
And we have some great other interviews. We have another one of our guests. I'm going to run a series. We're going to talk to, you know, Sharon. We're going to talk to another doctor about resilience. We're going to talk to another doctor about the suicide rate. We're going to talk to another doctor and nurse also about prevention, but also what do they do after they retire? How do they decompress? Because they do have angel wings. Brains, I want you to fly on over on the edge right here. Okay, this is the place where the conversation is what? It's pointed. The guests are sharp. The responses are never dull, and we have great people like Sharon Hubbard here on the earth.
And don't forget, self-care matters. Self-care matters.
It does. It does. And whatever you have to do, you know.
But get help. Don't continue to stay on that hamster wheel, because I know everybody has to work and they need money. And so that is a big stressor for people deciding whether they should leave where they are. But I don't mean to leave nursing. I want people to love who they are and be who they can be. There are more than 100 specialties in nursing. You don't have to stay on that med-surg floor. You need information.
Right, and that's right. What it's like police officers. You know, they can't stay there, you know, forever. You need to rotate out and do other things and have different experiences. But you have been an amazing experience. Thank you so much, Sharon.
All right.
Have a good day, brains.
Hey, same.